This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012. My name is Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good to be back again.
Yes.
It's 222-2012.
That's yeah.
February 26th.
It's
yeah,
it's all we're all going to be tutu'd and romp
December
around.
21, and, you know. I don't know these mystical numbers.
Yeah, really, there must be some meaning. I mean, it's probably some, you know, mathematical equation that tells us how many days are left to live in this
I know.
Year. So, well, we welcome everybody to the program tonight. Glad you could join us, those listening to the archives as well. Tonight we're going to be talking about finding your motivation and momentum, and so we'll be getting into that. If you'd like to have a part in the program tonight, if you're a live listener, you can ask questions in the chat room, you can give us a call, and of course we have Reverend John Hightower screening the calls. However, we have a little bit of an announcement to make. John Hightower is on with us, and he just graduated from the IMHS doctoral degree program, so now we have to call him Dr. John Hightower. Congratulations,
Yay.
John.
Thank you, Doug. I was hoping for a long time. I was looking forward to it, and, you know, I want to thank everybody, you know, for being a positive influence, especially you. Teaching me values about myself, and especially the IMHS course, you know, helping me discover things about myself that now I know that I can do. And it doesn't have to be that hard because, you know, how hard could it be?
Yeah, that's a great attitude. I love that attitude. I think I'm going to don it on myself. But, you know, John, you were very diligent as you went through the program, took it very seriously. You know, you had a lot of great ideas as you went through it, a lot of good questions. And so, you know, congratulations. You did a nice job, and I'm happy for you, you know, Dr. John.
I think so. Once again, thank you.
Dr. Hightower, congratulations. And, of course, Dr. Hightower will be taking your calls tonight, so be sure to call in if you have a question or comment you'd like to make. We'd love to hear from you. So, other than that, we're doing what we normally do. Metaphysical Universe is a educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. We explore science and spirituality. We empower the human spirit. We promote a human-centered philosophy for living. So,
and we try to have fun.
Oh, yeah, the fun thing, too. So
like to
have fun with us. So tonight we're going to talk about momentum, motivation, and what I'm going to do is just kick it off with some, we'll talk about motivation first, what it is, and, you know, how you recover it, how you get it, how you lose it, so on and so forth. I'm going to be sharing 8 points with you on how to regain motivation or what's required for it. And then we'll get into momentum. We'll talk about how to get your momentum going, and we'll also discuss the law of momentum. So if you are in a place where, you know, you're feeling a little demotivated and lacking momentum, perhaps tonight we'll have some ideas for you that will help you to recover those.
Oh, Doug, I've been waiting for this show all day.
All day.
All day.
I was motivated yesterday, but today's a whole other story.
That's right. Some days are better than others, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I think we all need a boost of motivation from time to time. So that's just being real and human. You know, it's very difficult to keep up a momentum. And that's why I love the topic. I love how you put all of it together tonight. So I know I'm going to benefit from tonight, so I'm sure everyone else will, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope you don't mind if I poke my nose in once in a while and ask a few questions.
Well, I hope you do. You know, and, of course, this is great reminders for all of us. You know, I mean, look, we're all real-life human beings. We go through life. We have our victories or defeats, our likes or dislikes, you know, our frustrations and so on and so forth. So, it's good to remind ourselves. And so I could even say I'm doing the same thing here. One of the things that kind of puts motivation in perspective is a quote by Peter Drucker. He says, "We know nothing about motivation. All we can do is write books about it." So, and I could add, and we could have, you know, radio programs about it. So we're going to try to understand it a little bit more here. It's interesting to study what does and does not motivate people. Wow. I mean, the various things that motivate people, well, they're varied. You know, some people are money motivated. Some people motivated by poverty or not having enough. Some people are motivated by love, some by hate. Others find motivation by giving back to the world, yet others are motivated by taking from others. So there's people are motivated by anything and everything. It just depends on the person.
Revenge is a big one.
Yeah, there's another motivator.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a big one, people.
I mean, we even think about crimes. You know, when the police are investigating crimes, they're always, you know, what's the MO? What's the motivator? What's the motivation for doing this crime? So, of course, you know, it could be love or money or a host of different things. I want to put out, and I'm going to talk, bring this up more than once through the program, but in my opinion, as a rule, motivation stems from an intense inner belief in oneself and in one's dream, which in turn produces deep meaning for us. So when we have this intense belief in what we're doing, and we find meaning in what we're doing, you know, we usually cannot help but be motivated. The lips are not working. I'll smack them and then they'll work. Motivation comes in not only in life, but in business and on and on. I mean, business owners have to be motivated, managers and so forth. So as far as... I'm looking at my comments. I think that was meant for somebody else, Vicky. So, how to find and keep your motivation? As I mentioned, lack of motivation in itself, I think, is a symptom of an underlying problem, a lack of significant meaning in the endeavor or in one's life in general. That's what I think is just, it gets down to that. And, you know, if you don't find meaning in something or in your life, you're not going to be motivated to do it. You're just not. So let's talk about 8 different points that will help with motivation. The first one is to live your dream. Now, we've discussed this on various programs. And, again, I found this to be the primary motivator or demotivator in life. A quote by Albert Einstein is, he said, "We act as though comfort and luxury were the chief requirements of life when all that we need to make us happy is something to be enthusiastic about." Kind of reminds me of a quote I heard many years ago by George Burns, the late George Burns comedian. And he said, you know, we just need something, some reason to get out of bed in the morning. You know, why did you live so long? Or why are you so old? I mean, what did he live to, over 100? Yeah, because he had a reason to get out of bed. So the question is, what is your reason for getting out of bed? You know, and we could make all kinds of funnies about it or jokes about it, but really, what's your reason to get out of bed? And if you don't have one, that's, of course, something that you got to find. If you're not involved on a daily basis, or at least a regular basis, on something that you are truly enthusiastic about, you're going to probably see that motivation is an issue. When it comes to living your dream, are you? And, you know, we've talked about that. What do you call a good day? You know, that's a great question to ask. It's a hard question, simply put, but it's a hard question to answer sometimes. You know, what do you call a good day? What do you get out of bed for? What are you enthusiastic about? And if you're not doing that, you're going to have a problem with motivation. To be truly motivated, listen to your inner voice. Listen to your higher self. Obey your calling. Live your dream. Just let that slowly simmer for a moment. some folks have real struggle finding out what their purpose is, what their dream is, determining what that is. Well, look at it from a different angle. What do you enjoy doing in life? And perhaps some folks are mistaken, or they mistakenly think that if they're not neck deep in some high-end effort to benefit the world, that somehow their dream's not good enough, or their life is not that fulfilling. Well, what really does fulfill you? You know, it could mean simply doing no harm and doing right when you can. You know, when you see an opportunity to do right, you do it. Otherwise, you do the things you enjoy, you're part of the solution, not the problem, and you're happy. Great. More power to you. Any comments on the dream part? Oh, Dr. Vicky one?
You know, I'm completely with you. I mean, if you don't have a sense of knowing what you aspire to. You know, I was thinking, though, Doug, yeah, sometimes there are days when, for me, I have to get out of bed because the animals need to eat. You know, and if I don't, dogs are all over me, and I know that the horses are standing at the fence. And you know, there's lots of days where we all just want to sleep in. You know, it's like, oh, please make the world go away. I know my weaknesses and my strengths. So, you know, this makes life consistent for me, aside from the fact that I just love living with animals. They give me some kind of momentum and rhythm, and I think that's important for people to have too. You know, and part of their dream is what keeps them going, that they know if they can find a thread to sustain that, to work toward that dream. So, you know, that's just part of how I work with that.
Good. All right, so we're talking about 8 points to get your motivation back. The first one is live your dream. And again, it's probably the fundamental one. If you're not finding meaning in your life, it's going to be hard to get motivated. The second one is feeling good. You know, when we don't feel physically good most of the time or a lot of the time, it's really hard to get motivated about anything. And so, you know, if this is the case, you just don't feel that great, and you know, go to the doctor, go look at your habits, look at the way you're living your life, and make those changes. Whatever you need to do, bring it in order. We'll do that, but take a look at it, because if you're not feeling good, it's just not a motivation killer. There could be allergies, food allergies, other allergies, just various things that could be wrong. So get that one ruled out. You know, go to the doctor if you need to, get some exercise if you need to, eat better, whatever the case may be.
And if I can just add in there, for people who have chronic pain, if you know that you're continually searching, at least seeking out help, it keeps you going too. Like, don't give up. You know, you keep seeking ways to manage and to get better. It's like, you don't give up.
Great. Okay, so the third one we're going to talk about is believe in yourself and the value that you offer. There's few better assets than self-belief. If you don't believe in yourself and the value of what you're doing, then why should anyone else? So you can see that if you don't have that self-belief, it can be a motivation killer. It's really no substitute for believing in yourself in a proper way. It has tremendous power to propel us through the adversities of life. Motivational speaker and coach Wanda Carter once said, "Take control of your destiny, believe in yourself, ignore those who try to discourage you, avoid negative sources, people, places, things, and habits. Don't give up and don't give in." And I think that there's great power in deliberately believing in yourself and the value that you offer. You know, if you have avoidance behaviors, deliberately believing in yourself and the value you offer can also recover, rekindle that motivation. If you don't have that, then it'll kill the motivation. So believe in yourself and the value that you offer. This really ties directly in with self-esteem, your healthy self-concept. If you don't think you're worthy, what kind of motivation would we have if that was the case? So we have to understand that we are worthy, just as worthy as anyone else, no more, no less, because we're human, and that's a good thing. The fourth point is, to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. Now, I know that sounds, well, that's easier said than done, but I'm actually serious here. Unnecessary problems can arise from your own attitude or acceptance of circumstances that you could otherwise change. Intense personal problems can injure or destroy your motivation, and so can problems at work. So use the life skills that you pick up, not only from this program, but if you happen to be a student in the IMHS degree program, there's a ton of life skills in there. And we've been talking about self-concept. A healthy self-concept is a life skill. It's something to be acquired. But I can't emphasize this one enough. Our motivation can be killed because we just have a lot of problems in life. And so when we look at those problems, we have to ask, to what extent are my decisions, my choices, going into perpetuating these problems? For example, if you're in a toxic relationship and you know you need to leave it, but you don't, you know, what's going to happen to your motivation? Of course, you could use that situation to gain some motivation and get into a healthier place in your life. Remember what James Allen said. I've quoted this a zillion times, but James Allen had a brilliant piece of advice when he said that when we learn the spiritual lesson contained in a circumstance, it passes and allows us to move on to other learning opportunities. Think about that for a moment. When we learn the spiritual lesson, that is the crucial point. Can we know a lesson without having learned it? The answer is yes. What changes about us when we actually learn a lesson? We change. When we change our beliefs, our actions follow. So if you need to change your actions, start by changing your belief, primarily your belief in yourself, which is point number three that we just discussed. So to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. If you make better choices, you're going to have better results. And that's going to really help with the whole motivation department. Okay, let's see. I'm just scanning the chat room to make sure I'm not missing anything.
No, we're just talking about some of the troubles I think we're all having. I think it's just a little bit of one of those nights, I'm afraid. John was having a hard time getting into chat. I've been having a little bit of trouble with my Skype, so bear with me too. I get a few words that kind of, I miss it, so I'm not quite fast on the draw tonight, Doug.
Well, we'll figure out a motivator for that one. All right, so the fourth point was, to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. The fifth one is your pain, your hunger. Now, pain can be a powerfully motivating or demotivating force. If you're unhappy about your situation, whether it's personal or financial or secular or whatever, your inner pain or that unhappiness can drive you to greater accomplishments or to making those changes, sometimes when little else can, you know. But on the other hand, sometimes your pain can also immobilize you. I've had both happen. You know, you get that intense pain of life, personal situations, whatever, and there have been times I just felt immobile. I couldn't move. And then something happens, because when the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of change, we change. You know, the lesser of the pains. So we go with the lesser of the pains. You know, so we can get fed up with situations and we can feel motivated to make appropriate changes. We need to channel that pain in the proper direction. And
would it be fair to say that that's like a tipping point sometimes?
Yeah, it can be. Obviously, I mean, that pain it's emotion, it's raw emotion, right? So, and I'm talking about emotional pain here, not physical pain. You know, I suppose physical pain could be a motivator too, but I'm really talking about that emotional pain. Yeah, it can be a tipping thing. It's like when we've had enough, when enough is enough, then we change. And then the question we have, if we're still dealing with this, and it kind of brings us back to those being encumbered by personal problems, at what point is enough enough? You know, so whenever we reach that point, will change, and of course our life will change and our motivation will change. It's as I mentioned, it's important to channel your pain in the proper direction, make the most of it. You know, in the body, pain is a physiological warning system. It's your body and mind's way of telling you that something's wrong, you know, and you need to correct that, like right now. So when we think about our emotional pain, listen to your pain. What is it telling you? What is it saying? You know, when you define that which pains you, you get it out on the table, as it were. You know, you have an opportunity to touch it, hold it, feel it, caress it, explore it, and hopefully get motivated by it in a proper way. And when we take action, that releases energy in that pain. It can be a great motivator.
Can anger be considered a pain also in that context?
It could, you know.
When we're so angry, we're in pain. And you know that, when you know that saying about "I'm so angry I can't see straight."
Mm-hmm.
Would it be fair to say then that it could be a tipping point in that also, where anger has to release itself and to be conscious of it?
Frustration, anger, dissatisfaction with the way things are. Of course, you know. A lot of the stuff, though, folks, that we feel, this raw emotion, these intense emotions, a lot of it. A lot of our own, even our own self-beliefs about a situation, I mean, they're not a whole lot more in reality than one of those hot air balloons. And what's inside of a hot air balloon? Hot air. You know, think about it. Visualize that. You blow up a balloon, and it's got this mass. It's big. It's bulky. It's something. You know, it's a thing. Well, what's it full of? Hot air. And if you just, you know, release the hold on that and let the air escape, it deflates. Now it's not so intimidating. So a lot of our own concepts, a lot of them are just that hot air. They're not real. You know, it gets us into the area of fear, which we'll talk about in a moment. But we need to make sure that we don't incorrectly identify things. In other words, if it's just a balloon full of hot air, that's all it is. Release it. Rethink who you are, why you are who you are. Think about what you're doing. And think about your pain, your hunger. What do you hunger for in life? What drives you? Who are you? Those are questions that you've got to come up with some answer if you don't already know.
And you know,
you can do it through meditation. That's all I was going to say.
Well, I was just going to say, most of the time when I get emotional, it's because I'm upset with myself. You know, they think
don't
that,
do
I
that.
Think a lot of, well, a lot of people can relate to this. You know, emotional, kind of an internalization of emotion is, I could have done that a little better, or why did I miss that, or, gee, I got to pay attention to that more. You know, when we kind of internalize that, because they think sometimes we all, you know, certainly I can relate to myself and people I've talked to, is that, you know, we expect a little bit more from ourselves, and that can propel its own emotion, you know.
Mm-hmm. And good point in the chat room, comments made, when I changed my thinking from I want to feel happy to I want to feel fulfilled, my motivation changed to a more positive approach to things. Happiness can be a momentary emotion where fulfillment is a completeness within yourself. Well stated. And that kind of gets me to the topic of affirmations in our self-talk, and I'm glad that came up, because we want to make sure that we are having a positive dialogue with ourselves. Was it last week? I think we talked about the thought bank. You know, when we say something negative about ourselves, we make a withdrawal, and if that's all we ever do, then we're overdrawn all the time. So when you say something negative or think something negative about yourself, replace it, make a deposit of two positive comments or two positive things. And so a good point, you know, look, folks, happiness is where you see it. I love the quote that Zig Ziglar says. He says, we do not sing because we're happy. We're happy because we sing. In other words, action and doing things brings us that fulfillment, that meaning. All right, so whatever you hunger for, follow it. Whatever pains you, and relieve it or follow it so that the pain goes away. Number six, believe that you will gain benefits. If you believe that you're in a dead-end job, your motivation is going to die. That's an obvious thing. You know, if you believe that you're going nowhere, that's exactly where you're going. Whatever you believe is your reality. Your perception is your reality. And so you have to believe that there's something in it for you. That's what I call the first law of human nature, is that people only do the things they see a benefit in doing. So, and I would say that that rules everything. You only do the things you do because you see some benefit in doing that. And somebody might say, well, gee, I don't see any benefit in paying bills. Well, then why do you pay them? You know, it's like to keep the lights on, you know, to keep the car in the driveway. You pay bills because you see some benefit in doing it. Even though you may not want to, you still see some benefit. In a Michigan State University study, 97% of the faculty members and staff who bet $40 that they could stay with a six-month exercise program were successful. So 97% of the faculty members who bet 40 bucks saying, yep, I can do it for 6 months, they did. Conversely, only 19% of a non-betting group stayed with the program 6 months. What does that tell us? Well, we need to see that we get something out of the deal. We only do the things that we see a benefit in doing. So believe that you will gain benefits. And if you can't see any benefits to doing something, well, first of all, you're not going to want to do it. Your motivation is going to die. And you need to change it. You know, whatever that is. I mean, there's so many various ways we can apply this. But let's, you know, we think we want to do something in life, but we just can't get going on it. Have you ever had that happen? I have. And I see the benefits, but there's something holding me back. What is it? And I have to really go inside, go within, do some introspection, and try to figure out what it is that's holding me back. And sometimes I've come to the conclusion, okay, I'm just not that into it. It sounded like a good idea at the time. I'm not willing to do it. You know, there's trade-offs and trade-ups for everything, right? Well, sometimes I just, you know, not really willing to trade what it's going to take for that. It's no longer that important. So if that's the case, change it. Do something that is important. The seventh one is continue to gain knowledge and experience. This, I could say, is continue to raise your level of awareness, self-awareness, and awareness of the world around you. Raise your awareness of the human condition, of human nature. You know, as you continue to grow and live life and gain experience in life, your level of awareness increases, and along with it, you're going to see things in a different way, and that's going to shed a new light on your motivation.
You know, if I can input to this one about knowledge, when I believe that when we're not continually learning, it's like a spiritual death. And that's when life becomes very diminished and the dysfunctional behaviors run rampant. So if there's always that growing, always that awareness, then there's way less risk of falling into a bad pattern or habit or somebody else's. Because we're always, you know, we do, you know, we're interacting with people and we can easily become contaminated if we don't have that mindset to keep learning. Mm-hmm. So.
That's a huge one.
Yeah, the flip side of not learning is getting really dysfunctional.
Staying stupid.
Yeah.
All right, so number seven is continue to gain knowledge and experience. Number eight is another big one, and it's tied directly with number one. Number eight is lose the fear. Remember, number one was live your dream. A lot of times we don't live our dream because of the fear. And fear is, of course, one of the greatest disabling beliefs. Seldom do the fears that we harbor have anything to do with the greater reality. Talked about this a moment ago. You know, I've always liked using the word fear, F-E-A-R, as an acronym. And this was, I believe, coined by Zig Ziglar in the beginning. But F-E-A-R stands for false evidence appearing real.
Good one.
And so when we have fear, we're looking at false evidence, because very seldom are our fears significant or real. I'm not talking about, you know, you're staring a mugger in the face with a gun in your head at your head. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those fears that we have in life. Will people like me? Will I be good enough? Will they accept me? You know, it's all that stuff that ties back to self-concept again. But the fears that we have are usually irrational in nature, and they're not based on real, whatever that is. But as long as we believe our fears are real, guess what? They are. They become our reality. And herein lies the problems. Our fears are usually nothing more than misguided and illusory beliefs, that is, false evidence, that disable us from doing what we know we should do. And when we hold on to these unreasonable fears, we disable ourselves. What does that mean? We lose our motivation. So if you have fears, feel the fear and do it anyway. In that way, you control fear. Everybody's afraid at some point in their life. I mean, gosh, I look back over my life, and I remember the first time I ever gave a public talk. I was 7 years old. My knees were knocking together. And yet I did it. And I'm sure I did a good job. I usually do. But then, you know, I got older and I got more into speaking in public. And, you know, in the beginning, it was a little bit, I was a little bit nervous, nothing like that first time. But in my 20s, I was doing more. And then in my early 30s, I was doing a lot more. And then, and it was usually the groups of probably 100 or 150 or less. But then I had an opportunity to speak to about 5,000 people. I did that two or three times. But I remember the first time. And I mean, by this time, I was a seasoned speaker. I mean, I knew what I was doing. And I get out there in this arena with 5,000 people in it. And again, my knees were a little bit shaky there. You know, this is, gosh, 20 years ago. And I was almost like outside of myself. I was almost like this third party observer, you know. I was just pondering this whole situation. And I went out and I did a bang up job on it because that's just who I want to do. I can't change. That's kind of some levity there. But I remember that. So the next time I went out, it wasn't like that. And I look back and all of these things are just lessons along the way. And now I don't care how many people are there. It's like talking one-on-one. I'm just talking one-on-one to 5,000 different individuals. That's all it is. I am who I am. And, you know, gotta love me, right?
Could it be also the fear activates that fight or flight instinct? So you're either going to fight through it or you're going to run like
absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely, and that's what fear is. Of course, fight or flight response.
And so what it is, the challenge, if you know that about yourself, then to challenge it, like to challenge whatever it is that, like our response, not just the fear itself, but to challenge our responses. So does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Well, it is obviously it's a challenge, those things. But you got to do it anyway. It's what we call courage. You get out and you do what you want to do, what you're supposed to do. You might be have some fear if you haven't done it before. Fine. Feel the fear and do it anyway. In that way, you control fear. One unknown author wrote, remember, the more you know, the less you fear. And I could add, the less you fear, the more you are motivated. Now, here's a nugget for you. Knowledge cancels fear. Think about that for a moment. Let's tie that in. When I went out on that stage the first time with 5,000 people in the audience and my knees were shaky, I was at a certain level of awareness at that point in my life when I walked on that stage, right? I was at a certain point of awareness and a certain level of it. After 15 or so minutes that I was doing my presentation, during that 15 minutes or whatever it was, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it was, at the end of it, I was at a higher level of awareness. I had evolved. Because it wasn't any time before my knees were fine and I was fine and I was right at home. And so when I walked off that stage, I was a different person. I had a higher level of awareness. That's what experience does for us. That's what feeling the fear and doing it anyway does for us. It helps us to raise our awareness. So when we raise that level of awareness, what are we doing? We're gaining knowledge, aren't we? Knowledge cancels fear. And when we cancel that fear, we become even more motivated. There's some things that tie into this. And Vicki, anytime you know you want to add, just feel free.
I usually do.
Of course you do.
You know.
I'm just trying to be nice.
You know, I know. These are all such good reminders. And I think no matter how aware or how grown up we like to think ourselves as, we need to remind ourselves of these things. You know, it's like the things to check in with. And I like your 8 points, Doug. It's that check in with those 8 little things and say, okay, do I have something here? And good, and then move through it. So, I mean, that by itself is a motivation.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about fear, and we've kind of been talking about you feel the fear and you do it anyway, and that can motivate you. But fear can also be a motivator in itself. Sometimes some people get motivated from fear, but if you think about that, gosh, it may not be a positively based type of motivation. Think about this for a moment. In other words, I'm talking about fear-based motivation. And just to be a little clearer about this, there's a lot of fear-based motivation, right? Think about the law, right? Think about school teachers, religious leaders, you know.
Poverty. Poverty's a big one.
Well, I'm talking about fear-based when I say, you know, if you do this, you're going to burn in hell. You do what I want you to do or I'm going to burn you in hell. Tell me that's not fear-based motivation. Of course it is. If a cop is wielding power and saying, if you do this, you're going to go to jail. You know, think about this. A lot of times when disasters happen, natural disasters, what do people do often? They loot. Well, what's keeping them from looting otherwise? Well, you know, for them, it's fear-based. If you do this, you're going to jail. Okay, obviously there are consequences for our actions, but what I'm trying to put forth here now is we want to make sure our motivation is positively based, not negatively based or fear-based. If we engage in fear motivation, even in our thinking, it's the same thing as focusing on what you don't want to happen. And, you know, the mind, the unconscious, we talked about this a week or two ago, that whatever you focus on, you know, comes into reality. When you focus and visualize on things, that's to hold your thoughts predominantly, that's what happens in your life. So if you focus on what you don't want to happen or what you don't have, your unconscious mind only gets that message. Oh, this is the reality you want. So then it brings your life in line with that reality. But if we focus on what we want to happen in a positive way, then we are focusing on a positive thing and we're not letting fear grip us.
I think one of the things that's really prevalent in society is acquisition, money. And I think a lot of people are motivated to have lots because they have a fear of not having,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that fear of poverty, mm-hmm. the fear of not having, it does incite greed, really. And I've seen a lot of little hang-ups start to build up with people. They get stingy with their money or they, you know, won't give their spouse any or, you know, it causes all kinds of other little, you know, psychodramas when people are afraid of not having anything. Or they end up buying a lot of stuff because they think things make them feel better. But again, right. That's still from a fear-based motivation, too.
Well, and you have a good example when we're motivated by not having. And it can be a powerful motivator. Does it work? Sure, it works. But is it healthy? And I say no. We don't want to live in abject poverty. We don't want to be without. That's just human needs. But flip it around. Let's, you know, focus on what we want. We want to be taken care of. You know, we want to have the things that we need in life, food, shelter, clothing. We want to find meaning in our life and fulfillment. Those are positive things. So we've talked about 8 different things that will help you with motivation. The first one was live your dream. Number 2 was feeling good. Number 3 was believing yourself and the value you offer. Number 4 was to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. Number 5 was your pain, your hunger that can motivate you or demotivate you. Number 6 was believe that you will gain benefits. Number 7, continue to gain knowledge and experience. And number 8, lose the fear. Remember, knowledge cancels fear. So we've talked about motivation. All right, so perhaps we regained our motivation, we found it. Now we want to get some momentum going. So let's talk about momentum. And I have, about 4 points here that I'll share with you on gaining momentum. And I'd like to use an analogy to illustrate these different points. Do you know, well, if you're old enough, do you know where you were on July 20th, 1969? Well, I'll just let that slowly simmer for a moment. Now, if you're old enough, you probably do. I know where I was. I was in Vancouver, Canada, Vicki.
Beautiful city.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't remember a whole lot of it back then. I was only 10 years old. But that is the day that I watched Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walk on the moon for the first time in history. Unless you're a conspiracy theorist, then we didn't. But that's a different story for a different time. You know, it was broadcast live to the world. 10 years old. I was fascinated. It filled my imagination with exciting possibilities. You know, it was an amazing accomplishment for humanity. And so I've always marveled at the whole thing, anything space, you know, that's just me. Well, 12 years after that, this is April 12, 1981, the first space shuttle was launched in the early morning. And I watched that one, too, on live television. It was Columbia that had lifted off. And again, lots of thrust and power to get that space shuttle into orbit, just like the Apollo, the Saturn V rocket that lifted Apollo into space and, of course, resulted in the moon landing. Think about that power, that thrust that was required to launch those vehicles. Well, we can draw an analogy to that with our own lives. So let's talk about some facts and lessons on momentum. The first point that I will share with you is inertia. For the space shuttle or any rocket really to leave the ground, it's got to overcome inertia. Now, Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion describes inertia. It states that a body at rest tends to remain at rest, and a body in motion tends to keep moving at the same speed and in a straight line. So to sum it up, you know, if you're sitting still, well, inertia or momentum, if you will, tends to keep you there. If you start moving, inertia or momentum tends to keep you moving. So that's the basic law there. And, of course, they use that in space. So in order to achieve the necessary momentum for these rockets to get to space, these things weigh billions of pounds. Like the space shuttle weighs over 4.5 million pounds at liftoff. And it has to develop about 7 million pounds of thrust to get off the ground. And again, think about it. It's completely in line with Newton's law. It's sitting there on the launch pad. It tends to stay there unless something overcomes it. And that something is called a force. Obviously, the thrust, the rocket power. So what's the lesson? In our lives, we also need to overcome that inertia in order to achieve success. And it will likely take an unusual effort in the beginning to overcome that inertia to launch our dreams. But there's really no other way around it. You got to put the time in. You've got to put some work into it. Some often blood, sweat, and tears, as they say. So whatever your dream is, whatever you want to do, it's going to take extraordinary effort in the beginning. And then once you have that thrust of hard work, well, momentum will kick in. And then less effort is required to keep it going, to maintain it. But if we don't ever provide that initial thrust to overcome the inertia, you know, we'll never realize our goal. So if you've been unmotivated in the past, you got to determine what truly excites you about life, what motivates you about life, so you can blast off in the right direction. Go through that process and discover those things. So the first point here on momentum is inertia. You got to overcome it. The second point is stage technology. If you think about the Saturn V rocket of the older days, and even the space shuttle uses this to an extent, but the way that they get these rockets into space is by using stages. So you'll have stage one, stage two, and so forth. The space shuttle, they actually have the solid rocket boosters on the side, too, that kind of give the same effect. And they burn for the first couple of minutes, then they separate and fall back into the ocean. And then the primary thrusters take over the big tank and gets it the rest of the way into orbit. So what's the lesson? As we launch our dreams, our success will also go in stages. Have you ever noticed that? You know, look back over your life right now. Hopefully, you will identify a series of successes. Think about it. And if you're thinking, well, I've never had any successes, I'm sure you're wrong. We've all had successes. So if you look back over your life, yeah, there are going to be tough times. What were the series of successes that you had? Those are like stages getting you to where you are right now. Remember, all of life is about raising your awareness. You are more aware about yourself and the world around you today than you were a year ago, even by default. So all of these successes are like these stages that we go through. When we get to a certain level of success, well, we can build on that. And we can use it to propel us to the next level. I remember when I was in my teens, my dad used to tell me that, especially my late teens, right around the time I was 20, he would tell me that I needed to use the next 10 years. In other words, use my 20s to gain knowledge and career experience and so forth, because, as he said, a person's 20s are largely a waste. That we don't, in other words, we don't set the world on fire typically in our 20s. But when we get to our 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, we can really accomplish some amazing things. I see no reason to not take that advice. In fact, I did take that advice that he gave me. And I can see it in retrospect now. The things I did in my 20s, the things I learned, the places I went, so on and so forth, it really helped me to do what I needed to do in my early 30s, which was start business, and started learning that stuff. And the things I did during my 30s helped me to be more successful in my 40s when it came to human development and training and so forth. And all of my experiences to date culminated when I hit my 50s and started MCHS Church and IMHS. It was an epiphany for me. When I started the church, when I finally broke down and says, yes, I'm going to start a church, you know, that wasn't exactly always my first thing to do, if you know me at all. But this, of course, was a different type. This was one that was going to make a difference. This was one that was based on healthy concepts. So when I finally did this, it was like, wow, this is what I was supposed to do. Everything leading up to this was just training. And now, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Because now, I'm old enough and experienced enough and have been there, done that enough that I can help others to make a positive difference in their life. Because I've lived it. I've read books, but the stuff I teach, I've lived it. It does work. It makes a difference. So all those things were stages in my life. And I'm sure that if you look back on your life, you will see the same thing. Capitalize on your successes. Allow them to help you maintain that positive momentum. All right, so the third point now is escaping orbit. Unlike the space shuttle, some spacecraft have missions that explore space outside of our orbit. They still got to get into orbit, of course, but then they go beyond. If you take the Voyager probes launched back in 1977 and then Cassini-Huygens' mission to Mars launched in 1997, they're good examples. Once the spacecraft achieves orbit, it needs to increase its speed to about 7 miles per second or 25,000 miles an hour to escape Earth's gravity. But the Earth's gravity is then used to help accomplish this by using a slingshot technique to get it out there into space. And they use the other planets for the same thing too. They'll do this gravity assist, and they'll slingshot it, and they pick up speed, and they're really able to get places a lot faster, relatively speaking. So what's the lesson for us? Well, once we've provided the necessary effort to begin realizing our goals or dreams, we may have attained some success along the way by getting into orbit, so to speak. But the question is, are we done yet? Probably not. I know I'm not done. I've accomplished a lot of stuff. I'm nowhere near done. I'll never be done. I have a lot of stuff that I want to do. Have we attained all that we wanted to attain? Probably not. So we need to use that orbit. We need to use the successes that we have and let them propel us even further, like that gravity assist. Let it slingshot us. Focus on your successes. And if you're not, this is a big thing, if you're not thinking about, wow, you know, I was successful here and there, and I did this really well, and this was a great victory for me. If you're not focused on those things, you got to remember them. And pat yourself on the back while you're at it.
What would you recommend for procrastination? People who are fast out of the gate and then poops out.
Well, I'd recommend worrying about it tomorrow.
Good one.
Yeah.
I think procrastination is a big problem for a lot of people. You know, it's like you get started, but how, again, that momentum, like how do you force yourself? Like, what would be the hook in there that causes people to procrastinate?
Well, that's an easy answer to that. Remember the first law of human nature. People only do the things they see a benefit in doing. If we procrastinate, it's pretty clear that we don't see a real benefit in continuing. And this is a great question. If you are in that position, you got to ask, is doing this worth it? Is there any meaning to doing this? Do I really have to do this? Just because I started it doesn't necessarily mean I have to finish it, because we are allowed to make new decisions based on new information. So if we start something and then later realize, wow, this really wasn't what I thought, not going where I wanted it to, and really no longer important to me, it's no longer procrastination. You make a new decision based on new information. As far as procrastination proper goes, if we've got to do something and it is worthwhile, we got to focus on why it's worthwhile. A lot of people don't want to do their taxes. Why? Because they may have to pay in more money. Well, it is what it is. Get her done, or you're going to pay an even heftier price if you don't. So if you can't find the motivation in doing it because you're supposed to, think about how much better off you'll be by just getting it done.
Oh, you had to bring up the tax word, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to. It's my job. Government pays me to talk about how we should be paying our taxes. All right.
It's just about that time of year, too.
It is. All right, so we've talked about the three of the 4 points on gaining momentum: overcoming inertia, the stage technology, we go from one success to another, and then escaping orbit. We can use those successes to propel us even further. And the fourth one is adjusting course along the way, which kind of is a good follow-up to the procrastination thing. Once a probe has left orbit, its course is set so that it will rendezvous with the right planet at the right time. But we all well know that if we just point that probe at the planet, by the time it gets there, there aren't not going to be no planet there, right? Because of the orbits of the planets. So they actually aim that probe to a point where the planet will be at that future time. Think about that for a moment. They send it in a direction where the planet will be when the probe gets there. So you can't just aim where you think it is now. Where will it be when you're ready for it? So we're talking about goal planning, you know, writing your history in advance, looking ahead. When will I be ready for this? And so what are the, maybe I won't be ready for that goal for 5 years. Maybe I've got to do some things. I've got to build some more successes, and I've got to do some more gravity assists and so on and so forth. And then I'll be ready for it. Well, what are those intermediate steps that I've got to take? That's adjusting the course along the way. So you look ahead to your goal, and there's also, if you focus on it, the universe is going to be that gravity assist for you, because then you're going, if you're focused on your goal and your dream and your meaning and all that stuff, you're just going to go there. That's what's going to happen. That's the nature of life. That's the nature of consciousness. That is the nature of existence. You get what you focus on. So focus on it, but also be smart. Learn what you got to learn. Take the steps you got to take, and then you'll get there exactly at the right time. And I could make an argument for that, that the things we do and accomplish and get, we do at precisely the right time, because things had to happen before we got them, right?
So, that's creating opportunities also.
Of course.
Or meeting up with opportunities.
Yeah. So those are some points on to get your momentum. Now, real quickly, let's talk about the law of momentum. It's real simple. It's based on what we've been talking about. Have you ever noticed in life that when things were going wrong, they just got worse? Or when we're cruising along and things are going pretty good, they just seem to get better? You know, when it rains, it pours, as they say. That's the law of momentum. And it's clear, it's easily stated. When you're down, the universe works to keep you down, or momentum works to keep you down. When you're up, momentum works to keep you up. That's just a restating of Newton's first law of motion, perhaps with a little more life-relevant approach. So the law of momentum can affect everything we do, from finances to career to family or whatever. Just remember that you want to use that to your favor. Now, what if your momentum is going downward? Well, think about blasting off again in the right direction. You got to turn that around. There's also sometimes when we might have the illusion that we're going backwards when we're really not. And this is just going to have to be something you'll have to kind of meditate on and look at. An illustration is, have you ever been maybe driving on the road and you see a car driving beside you and the wheels, the car is moving forward, but the wheels look like they're turning backward, that phenomena, that illusion? Well, sometimes that can be us in life. We might be cooking a head forward, moving forward, got that momentum, and then maybe we have a setback. Well, you really got to look at that. Is it really a setback? Or was it the universe giving us an opportunity to learn something we needed to learn? You know, is figuring out, you know, they say 10,000 different ways that a light bulb won't work. Was that all failure? No. You know, as they say, Edison, you know, found 10,000 ways not to create a light bulb. Well, he was successful in finding those 10,000 ways, and then he found one that worked, you know, got his goal. So we have to look at the law of momentum. We have to make sure that we're using our thinking skills, or critical thinking skills. We have to remain true to who we are. We have to remain true to our healthy self, and then we will be good. Wow. All right. Vicki, now's your time to say something, because we are almost...
Oh, no,
good.
The hour went by so fast, Doug. It was... I was listening intently, and finally my Skype connection got better in the last half of the show, and I was right in there. I mean, it's a great topic. Really good stuff in there. Thank you.
Well, I hope it was... of value to those listening in the archives and so forth. Next week we'll have another topic we'll talk about. Congratulations again to now Dr. John Hightower for graduating from IMHS Institute. If you'd like to know more about metaphysics and get into counseling, coaching, paranormal science, you know, whatever, there's a number of specializations, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. We'd love to have you, and if you'd like to be a part of MCHS Church, you can visit us at mchschurch.org. With that,
good show, Doug. Thank you very much. Great show.
Yes, it was, even if I did talk all the time.
I felt like part of the audience, and if they feel anything like I do, I benefited a lot. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks, everybody. Great week. We'll see you next week. Good night.